Good morning. Good morning, church. Or is this on? Anybody out there? Got a couple of you. Hey, how about those flushing toilets, huh? You like those? Yeah. We're nothing but first class around here. We are glad that you are with us. Flushing toilets, first class, right? We're glad that you're with us. Are you ready to worship this morning? Got a lot going on, but man, it's exciting to be here with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Prepare your hearts for worship. Father, when we say that, when we say prepare our hearts for worship, it doesn't mean that we have to draw in and get solemn. It may mean joy. It may just mean that joy begins to pulse through us. Lord, as we talk about joy today, we pray that your Spirit would come. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come, that you would inhabit this place, that you would stir us, that you would change us. We pray that the name of Jesus would be high and lifted up. We pray that everything we do, everything we say, everything we think today would please you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Also want to welcome our live stream audience. Let's worship together.
Was written in 1949. When did the telephone even come out? Anybody know? I don't even know. It was kind of new maybe though, right? Hey, let's write a song about the telephone. It's a new thing, right? So I guess that's the thing about this song. But you know, it says you can always call, God always answer. Have y'all heard the term ghosting? Like you call somebody and then they won't call you back? God will never ghost you. See, I know things. So, one more time. We now kind of know what's going on. One more time.
Oh, what joy to find. I can feel.
of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with his holy thunder and leaves us breathless. This is amazing grace. This is a failing love that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free.
Good morning again. I want to invite the Masons to come forward. Ray and Irene have been here for a couple of months, two or three months, something like that. And Irene has already plugged into our praise team. We're excited about that. They come to join our church this morning. Yeah, yeah. So we are excited to have you guys and to welcome you into membership of our church. From the first time y'all walked in, I could just see that there was a connection there. So I want to remind everyone that you guys have already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've already been baptized in that faith. We receive that, and we ask you now as you come into membership of this church. I want to ask you just to reaffirm, is Jesus Christ still your Lord and Savior? Amen. And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness?
Yes.
We welcome you.
Thank you.
Yes. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right. Y'all can be seated. All thanks, guys. We also have this morning some guests with us that I wanted to recognize. Chief Marcus Dudley, Chief. Oh, there you are. Our new police chief. His wife, Amy. Amy. And Amy is going to be the, pending board approval, which somehow I think that might happen. She will be the assistant principal at Mann Junior High. Yes, so we're excited about that. And Marissa and Amari, they have been kidnapped by other children. Where are they? There they are back there. And so we're glad to have you guys with us. Chief, I wanted to invite you forward and give you a few minutes here to share your heart with our congregation. I want to say, as he's coming up here, I met, as they were doing interviews for the different police chiefs, I got to meet Chief Dudley and was very impressed. And since then, I've met with him two or three times and have been further impressed. And we are blessed to have you and your family in our community. So, God bless you.
So I was told that I had 5 minutes. Now, I was wondering if that's pastor time or chief time. Let me first give all the praise and glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to thank you, Pastor Jeff. It has been just a wonderful thing that you and One Kingdom have done in welcoming me as the chief of police. But then not only that, inviting me into your church home and with your church family. And so I thank you all for the invitation and welcoming me and my family. My family joined me here officially, to really be here on Tuesday. For the past 6 months, we had agreed when I accepted the position that it was important for us to allow our children to finish the school year where they had grown up. That meant a lot to us, and I will tell you it's been one of the hardest things I've had to live through in not having them here with me. And so I'm so thankful that they are here. So let me tell you what my experience has been. And I had a number of different things I thought about talking about in this 5 minutes. And I said, you all don't want to hear about the work and the initiatives and those things right now. What you really want to hear is what my experience has been. What do I feel right now? And so what I want to tell you is that I did not think that after the interview process and my acceptance of I was going to be leaving where I'd been before to come here, I didn't think that my heart could grow with fondness for a community as much as it has grown. Since I accepted the position, I've had some remarkable experiences. The interview process where I've got to meet some of you all was over at the country club. And I'll tell you, when you're driving up and you see the American flag presented and then alternating all the way in is the thin blue line flag, which represents the thin line of folks that are willing to put their life on the line for a community. It's overwhelming. We have had folks reaching out to us to see about our every need. They don't want my kids to be lonely, to feel displaced. Folks have reached out and said, can we go to dinner with you? Can your kids hang out with our grandkids, or can they hang out with our children? Because they want us to feel welcomed, and we have felt that. I've come to know amazing department members, the compassion that our officers show for our community. Tell you an example of that. We went through a snowstorm. In February of 2021, we had no water, no power in that building. And my detectives came to me and said, sir, we can't investigate cases, but we hear there's a lot of phone calls of people who are concerned about their loved ones because they can't get in touch with them. Can we run out and do welfare checks and help with those calls for service? That's what your officers do. the selflessness towards each other. We talked about doing a new patrol schedule. And the culture of the Abilene Police Department is that we split the weekend. You either get a Saturday off or Sunday off. And I proposed changing that a little bit, and folks were so concerned because they really wanted to make sure that families weren't torn apart by splitting up those weekends. Now, I can't promise them we won't at some point have to if staffing doesn't allow me to deploy resources in the right way. But I'm telling you, the selflessness that exists on the department, that they are willing to sacrifice a part of a weekend so that another officer can have that with their family, amazes me. We have an extraordinary community. I told you about that little winter storm thing we had. We did not have bathroom facilities at a city building that has to provide 24-hour service 7 days a week. And we had to put out a post saying, folks, does anyone have a porta potty? And there were a number of folks that had loaded up porta potties on their trailers and drove them in. I don't know how they got in with all the snow we had, but drove them in and sat in our back parking lot. And they said, these are for you for as long as you need them. When we needed food, we called up one of the Walmarts and said, hey, we got to feed our folks because they can't go somewhere and go eat. Once they're in, they're at work. They said, come on in, we'll open up the store. So we walked in, we gathered up stuff in baskets and got up to the counter and pulled out our purchase card. And they said, what are you doing? You're not paying for that. Take all of that. That's for your officers. That's for your dispatchers. Thank you for what you do. That is our community. I am overwhelmed with the amount of love that we get. As recently, I didn't think my heart could grow anymore. And just this weekend, the Abilene Police Foundation put on a fundraiser. And if you don't know, what the foundation does is help those who serve. So if we have officers who have gone through a disaster, like a fire destroys their home, if we have an officer that's in crises because they contract a disease, an illness, and they can't afford to pay their medical bills, officers don't come and tell everybody about that, and yet they still go answer the call for service. The foundation helps to provide and supply for their needs, and they do it with sponsors, with donations that come from our citizens. This weekend, they had the clay shoot, and this is amid the issues that are going on nationally, which aren't issues that we have here. They did a fundraiser and raised over $90,000 that goes into the fund that helps our men and women who serve. When I thought my heart couldn't grow anymore, you just keep doing it over and over. And I am so blessed and I'm so thankful for the community in which I serve. I will close with this because I'm sure I'm getting down to that last minute. And it's a poem that is near and dear to me, and it comes from Maya Angelou. And she is an African-American female poet who was once asked what she had learned in life. And she sat and thought for a moment, and then she said, what I have learned in life is that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And I thought about that from my own self-reflection. And I thought about those folks who I've had challenges with, and I've thought about those folks who I've loved dearly, and it is true. I don't remember what was always said or what was did. Or done, I guess my wife would correct me being the teacher. But I will never forget how they made me feel. And I just want you all to know that we have something special here in Abilene. I could not have chosen a better place to raise my children, and I am thankful for the privilege of serving. I look forward to making more new friends, to learning and being a part of our community. I ask that you please keep our officers in your prayers, and I thank you again for this opportunity to join in worship services today. Thank you.
Chief, I just have one question. Where were those people with the porta potties last week when we needed them? I mean, we could have used those guys. A little bit later in the service, during our prayer time, Pastor Billy's gonna pray for the Dudley family. So we're gonna do that then. I want to invite the children to come forward for our children's message.
How's everybody doing today? Good. Y'all had a good week?
Yeah.
Yeah, doing lots of fun things now that school's out and summer's here.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Well, good. Well, I am super excited to be here today. So, it's a wonderful day. Have y'all enjoyed the rain this week? No? Yes. But the rain, it made the grass so green. And have y'all been hearing birds sing? No? You have? Yes. And Amarillo, yeah. Do you see the sun shining? Oh, I keep getting tangled up. Do you see flowers blooming? Do y'all see? No, you don't see any flowers blooming? How about trees growing? Do you see trees growing? Yes. Yes, that's right. Okay, so today we're going to talk about seasons for just a few minutes. What are our four seasons that we have?
Winter, spring,
summer, fall, right? Did I get them all? All right.
Summer.
And summer, yes. So what season are we in right now?
Spring.
Spring, that's right. And what season are we going to be in pretty soon?
Summer.
Summer, that's right. So what's good? What's the best thing about winter? Tell me the best thing about winter.
Snow.
Snow, that's right. What's the best thing about summer?
Pools.
What? No school, all right. Okay, how about fall? What's the best thing about fall?
Jumping in the
leaves change colors. And what's the best thing about spring? Easter, very good. So all the seasons, God has a plan for every season. But I want to talk specifically about spring. So do you know what's so special about spring that I love? Is that you can plant things in your yard and they grow. Do they grow in the middle of winter? No, because it's too cold. That's right. And do you love gardening? But you can also plant apples or squash or watermelon
or tomatoes.
That's right. So spring is a great time to plant all of that stuff for you to enjoy. So when we plant something, does it always come like this? No, all of our plants start with what?
Seeds,
that's right. Can you tell my different seeds I have in there? I have different shades. I've got different shades and different sizes. And look at this little bitty one. Can you see this little bitty seed? See that little bitty? I know it's a little bitty black seed. They're all going to grow into something very special. So far the seeds that I have in here, I have corn, I have sunflowers, I have cantaloupe, and I have lavender. All right, so those are my seeds. Seeds are important so that we can keep growing. So I want to talk about how we are like seeds. Have you ever thought about yourself being like a seed? No? Okay, so we were all a baby, right?
No.
Did you stay as a baby?
No.
No? Do these seeds stay as the, do they stay like this?
No.
No, they grow. Are you growing?
Yes.
Yes. Are you getting smarter?
Yes.
Are you learning?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So you're growing just like these seeds grow. But we need to grow in other ways, not just getting taller and our, you know, eyes getting bigger and different things, right? Our feet getting bigger, right? We need to grow in other ways. And do you know how else we need to grow? We need to grow in our heart and our mind. Because do we want to stay like a baby?
No.
No. We want to get smarter. We want to get smarter, right? And we want to learn lots of new things, and we want to learn how to do like calculus and trigonometry and what is that? Physics and things like that, right? Okay.
So, yeah.
I know. So, do you know who helps us grow? Do you know who helps us grow? God does. That's right. So how do we grow? So what are some ways that we can grow?
In faith,
yes. But when we learn, how do we come to church? Are you growing today because you came to church? Because you're going to learn about Jesus today?
Yes.
Do you learn by reading your Bible?
Yes.
Do you learn when you pray? Do you learn when we worship and sing praises to God?
Yes.
That's right. We learn about God's love for us and what he did for each one of us. And that helps us grow so that we can share that love with others, right? So Jesus and God helps us grow our heart and our mind to be just like him. And it says, here's my question. Do y'all want to be like Jesus?
Yes.
Do y'all want to be like Jesus? Yes. In Luke 2:52, it tells us, it says, Jesus became wiser and stronger. Did you know that? So God has a plan for each one of you. God will help us grow to be wiser and stronger like him. But we need to learn and to come to church and to listen to God. Can y'all do that?
No?
Okay. All right. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us. And I thank you that you are helping us grow to be strong and wiser so that we can share your love with others as we go out into this world, Lord. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for these boys and girls and their family in your precious son's name. Amen. All right. Let's go. Okay. Hey, Josiah. How are you?
Good morning, church family. Good to see you this morning. Good to have you once again join us online for worship. A couple of things you may not be aware about that needs some prayer. Mike Matthews' mom passed away this week, and the visitation for the funeral is today from 2 to 4 at Elmwood Funeral Home on 277, and then there'll be a private burial tomorrow, family burial. Correct, Mike? So pray for that family. And we have 6 young elementary kids going to camp this week. I don't know if we need to pray for them or the sponsors. I'm not sure who we need to pray for. But that takes place from tomorrow through Wednesday. And you know, just pray that the Holy Spirit these kids will be impacted by the Holy Spirit at a young age. So that's going on. Our Wednesday nights start back next week, not this week, but next week. And then, of course, VBS at the end of the month and Promise Keepers on the 16th and 17th of July. And men, I believe that there's some of you that need to commit to that. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but there's an opportunity for your life to be impacted greatly. You know, God used this ministry in the 90s to shape me into the man that I am today, and I've still got a little ways to go. But I never attended an event where I wasn't impacted deeply. And so it's a great opportunity, men, for that to happen to you. And wives, you may need to sign your husbands up. I'm not sure, but that'll be a great event. Looking forward to that. Chief, good to have you and your family with us this morning. We would like to pray for y'all as you fully transition into the community, into work, and into the school systems. You asked us to pray for your officers. We'd like to do that as well this morning. And thank you for your service. Scott, thank you for your service as well. And if I've missed anybody in the room, I apologize for that. Thank you for serving our community or other communities through law enforcement. So pray with me. Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that stirs us, that changes us, that reveals the will of the Father in us, the Holy Spirit that testifies of Jesus, And Lord, we need more of that in our lives. Father, I just thank you for our guests this morning, the Dudley family, and Lord, as they continue to integrate into the community, Lord, I just pray that you make additional provision for them. Sound like you're already doing that. And Lord, I just pray for the missus as she starts her position. God, I pray for favor with for her in the school system. God, use her for your glory. And Lord, as the children transition into school, God, I just pray for instant friends. And not just any friends, but friends that can encourage them, friends that they can walk side by side with, friends that will reveal the love of Christ to them. And Father, we're blessed to have them. And Lord, you had this when you created the world from the foundation of the world. You had in mind for him to serve as our chief during this time. And so, Lord, we want to embrace that. And Lord, I know that you're going to bless that. And so, Lord, would you do that for your glory? And Father, I lift up our police officers and law enforcement in general. And God, it just seems like there's this demonic movement to discredit who they are and what they do. So, Father, I pray for protection for them. I pray that they not grow weary of doing good. I pray that against discouragement for them. I pray for peace for the spouses of the officers that go to work and just maybe wondering if they're actually coming home that day. Oh, Father, it's going to take a supernatural move of yours to change the heart of our nation and our nation, some of our nation's perspective of law enforcement. And Lord, I believe that there's more people that stand with them than stand against them. And Lord, I pray for that voice to be louder than the voices of the other. And so Lord, just bless them, protect them. Let them know that they're appreciated. Oh, Father, you're such a good, good God, a good, good Father. And as we continue to worship you this morning, I pray just for a fresh revelation of that goodness. Just let something erupt in our hearts, God, that we'll know without a doubt that we've met with you this day. Thank you for opportunities to pray. And we pray the prayer that you, Jesus, taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, if we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we continue to worship. You can go ahead and bring your offering up if you'd like to do that, or you can give electronically today, and God bless you, church. Thank you.
Well, welcome again. This on? Man, y'all are quiet. What's... All right. It's good to have you guys with us. It's good to have our live stream audience with us as well. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're here at the end of the service. I know nobody really wants to greet me. They want to greet the chief and his family. But at the end of the service, I will be out here, and I bet you can find the chief and Amy and the girls to greet them as well. So there's also a there's cards in the seat pockets in front of you. There's one with a blue stripe on the top that says guest. Would love for you to fill that out. Let us know you were here. You don't have to do that, but really would like to get to know you better and greet you. So that is available to you. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Probably my favorite psalm. Probably my favorite psalm. Now, I'm gonna set this up a little bit later after we read it, but let's begin in verse 1, Psalm 51. This is a psalm of David. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you, and you are indeed welcome here. We ask you now to speak to our hearts in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, continuing the sermon series this week, Navigating Hard Times. Has anybody noticed that we're kind of going through some difficult times in our world? Anybody else notice that but me? I said this in my email this week, that as we are navigating these hard times, the church, we should be a light. I mean, there should be something different that people see in us that they want, that inspires them to walk in holiness. And the first week of this series, I visited the passage where Jesus is doing the 40-day fast in the wilderness, and how Satan comes and tempts him, and how Jesus handled himself sort of for us to fix our eyes and to try to imitate Jesus. And what he did is he pressed into the Father. He knew the Word. He applied the Word in his life, and he was walking it out. It's week two, last time in this series, was to seek truth. How if, and I'm telling you, in a culture that we are in, that's difficult to navigate and to truly seek truth. There is truth. Scripture speaks over and over and over, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so we should be seeking that. Today's message, live joyfully. As we navigate these difficult times in our culture, we should live joyfully. Now, how many of you came to know Christ, and here's my term, came to know Christ through a freeze-dried Christian? First of all, I probably should define freeze-dried Christian. Just an old Christian that's just, you know, just, yeah, you know, you just kind of, woe is me, and here you do this, you don't do that, and it's like, oh, you're doing that wrong, that you're singing that song wrong, or that's the wrong song, or that's not how we do things. It's the freeze-dried Christian. How many of you came to Christ through a freeze-dried Christian? None of us. None of us. I mean, nobody, that doesn't attract anyone to it when we behave like that. And here's my term. How many of you know where I'm going? Come on. Say it. Joy sucker. How many of you know what a joy sucker is? A few of you that hadn't heard that term lately. That's when somebody walks in the room and everybody's joyful in the room and this person walks in and all the joy sticks to the walls. I mean, it leaves everybody, not just them. It just leaves everybody because they just suck it to the wall. And I've said this many times, and some of you know this is coming. If you can't identify a joy sucker, it may be you. I mean, joy. I'm telling you, people, I was thinking through the things that attract people to Christ. I believe just a few of those same. If we look at the fruit of the Spirit, the first three, love, joy, hope, peace. I mean, when those things are attractive. When we love one another, when we and Chief talked about it, how they have been receiving this community, that's attractive. That's not normal to be embraced like that. When we love, when we're joyful, when we have hope in the midst, in that we sang the song just a moment ago that the raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies, and when in the storm, and that's when it's a sacrifice of praise. When we praise, when we're joyful, when things are not, maybe all the circumstances are not lining up exactly the way we want them. That's attractive, church. It's attractive. I'm gonna give this psalm that we just read, this Psalm 51 from David. Most of you know this, but I'm going to hit it really quick, just kind of setting up David up until that psalm was written and right beyond. First of all, God said that he was in search of a man after God's own heart. And when he found David, he said, that's him. That's him. And he was selected out of seven older brothers. The prophet Samuel was God's prophet, and he's looking for this man after God's own heart. And Jesse, the father of David, he parades these older brothers. He's like, how about these guys? And he's like, nope, 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 all seven. He's like, is that it? Is that your whole thing? Well, I do have this one, this little boy. He's out tending the sheep. Well, he shows up, and Samuel says, he's the one. He's the one. He's anointed by Samuel. And here's what it says in 1 Samuel. It says this, the Spirit of the Lord, as he's anointed by Samuel, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. So he's anointed with the Spirit of the Lord in power. Then we know a little bit later, and most of us learned this in Vacation Bible School growing up, David is a teenage boy. He slays Goliath when all the big strong soldiers were afraid to go and face him. David goes and slays him. Then he becomes Saul the king. He becomes kind of his go-to guy, and Saul begins to be jealous. I love the scripture where they're going into battle, and as they're coming back from this victorious battle, the crowds are chanting that Saul has slain his thousands, and they're rejoicing. And then they say, and David has slain his tens of thousands. Don't you love that? And Saul's kind of going, I'm pretty sure tens of thousands is more than thousands. So he's getting the glory that I thought I was supposed to get. So he begins to be jealous. He begins to seek to kill David. David, in his mercy, has opportunities to kill Saul. He spares him. Saul kills himself after he's being defeated in battle. David is placed on the throne as king of Israel. And here, so that's where we pick it up. David, he's got the whole world before him, the whole kingdom. God has placed him on the throne, and he's got anything at his disposal, and he's up on a rooftop. And he sees this beautiful woman, Bathsheba, bathing across the way. Leads to sin, impregnates her. She was a married woman. And then he calls in David to cover up his sin. Her husband Uriah is out doing battle. He calls him back and he tries to trick him into going and sleeping with his wife so that the pregnancy would be covered up. Uriah is this man of character, and he refuses to do that. And so David does the next best thing in his eyes, and he sends Uriah out into the battle and has his other soldiers draw back, allows Uriah to be killed. So here it is. David is an adulterer, and he's a liar. He's a murderer. It's not going all that well for David. Then he is, God uses Nathan, prophet Nathan. He uses Nathan to confront David. And I love this story. Nathan comes to David, and he tells him this story about two landowners. And he says, we've got these two landowners, king. And one of them has great herds of sheep and cattle and all sorts of riches, and the other one just has this one little baby ewe. And the landowner with all of these riches and all of these herds takes the little baby ewe from this other one and steals that little baby ewe. And David becomes incensed, and David says, here's the quote, 2 Samuel Chapter 12, David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. And here it is. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Have you ever been in that place where, you know, we kind of come to that face-to-face moment with God, and God, in his own way, says, you're the man. The Apostle Paul talked about how he was a wretched man, and he talks about, I'm a wretched man. Who will save me? Jesus Christ will save me. You are the man. David's son, who was conceived in sin, he dies. And that's where that moment where David pens Psalm 51. And so I just wanted to set the stage. This is the heart of David is pouring out in this psalm after he's been confronted with his sin. What can we learn from his story? All right. First thing I think we can learn, joy comes from God through his Holy Spirit. Joy comes from God through his Holy Spirit. It is a fruit, a gift of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are gifts. They're fruit of God's Holy Spirit. When we have the Holy Spirit in us, those things should be oozing out of us. It doesn't mean that we're perfect, but we should have the fruit of the Spirit living in us. And I quoted this passage earlier. When David was anointed by Samuel, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. From that day forward, so his Holy Spirit was there. Now, if we pick up this in Psalm 51, verse 12, after he has been confronted with his sin, what does he say? Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. So we understand that salvation comes from the Lord. Joy comes from the Lord. And David is pleading with that to be restored, which leads me to the second thing I think we learned. Sin robs us of our joy. I see it all the time. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in ministry that we think, you know, I've said this before, but the enemy, he whispers in our ear the things that we should do. Do you think when David's on that rooftop, do you think the enemy wasn't whispering in his ears like, look over there, look on that building? Yes, call for her to come to the palace. And so what looks attractive to us is sin, and sin robs us of joy. And it wasn't just David's joy that got robbed. Think about the impact that had on so many people. It cost Uriah his life. Bathsheba was in shame. The whole kingdom must have been grieving and mourning that David had been caught and confronted in this sin. Sin robs us of joy. So I just want to read a few verses from this psalm that we just read. Have mercy on me, O God. Again, remember the stage he's writing this from. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. My sin is always before me. Against you and only you I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. So we also understand that sin is not just something that we do, but it's a condition we've inherited. Sin is in us. It has to be dealt with, and it robs us of our joy. Now, David, the one thing David got right, he knew how to respond when he was confronted with his sin, which leads me to the third point. God restores our joy through humble repentance. God restores our joy through humble repentance. Create in me a pure heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. So renew, he knew because his joy had been taken from him. He's saying, renew this peace that I have in my spirit, this peace that I have in my soul, renew that. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And I love this. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You know, I've seen this on again in ministry. Man, I don't know what it is, but repentance is hard. It's hard to say, I'm sorry, forgive me, with even with our loved ones, with our spouses or people that we've hurt or offended. It's hard enough, but then when we start dealing with God, it's just something in us. It's just hard to confess and ask for forgiveness. But here's what it says in 1 John. First of all, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And we talked about truth a couple of weeks ago. If we confess our sins, so here it is. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. David knew, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And David went on to, he was restored. And Solomon came through that same lineage of between he and Bathsheba. Solomon came, and we know Solomon built the temple and all sorts of things. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived because he asked God for wisdom. And Solomon wasn't perfect, but he was an important and large figure in Scripture. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So as we are navigating these difficult times, church, I just encourage us, we are to have joy. How do we have joy? We confess our sins and we understand in humility that there but by the grace of God go I. There but by the grace of God go I. And it it also leads us to this meal now that we are going to have here in just a moment. With COVID, you know that we've changed our serving method a little bit, just for sanitary purposes and safety purposes. But in just a moment, we haven't done it this way in a few months. But you're going to be given the opportunity to come forward and to receive a cup, and it's going to have a piece of bread and some juice, all self-contained here. And you will be given that. And I ask you to not open it right there where you are at the serving line, because it takes a little bit to do it. So go ahead and receive your cup. And there's actually one in the center and one at each end. There is some trash cans that you can, when you've partaken, you can discard the empty there. You know, I've said this before, but when I was a younger man, went to church, I'm not proud of this, but I just, Communion Sunday, all that meant was I was going to be in the back of the line at Luby's. This is going to take an extra 20 minutes for us to get out of here. Yes, I was a holy man. I was very holy. Or I'm going to miss the kickoff. But I understood when I was around 30 years old, the Lord and I did some business, and I understood how precious this meal is, that it is a costly meal. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he's sitting around this room with these men who've seen him heal the blind and heal leprosy and raise people from the dead, walk on water, multiply food, all sorts of things that they'd seen him do. And he understands that one will betray him, the other will deny him, and the rest will desert him, all but John. And he's sitting around, and what does he do? He humbles himself, and he washes their feet. That's how he starts. He starts that night off. And then he takes the bread, and he breaks it, and he says, you know, it's Passover night, and they for thousands of years, they have been observing the Passover from Egypt, and he changed the script that night, and he said, no, now this is my body. This bread is my body, which is broken for you. And then he took the cup and he said, he blessed it, and he said, this is now the blood of the new covenant, my blood poured out for you. And he, as he's saying those words, he knows that the next day he's going to be fulfilling that through the cross. He knows that he's going to be beaten and whipped and nailed to an old rugged cross. And why did he do that? Because he loves us. Do you know that? Do you know the depth of that? Do you know how much he loves you? When we partake of this meal, it is a precious and costly meal. So if you'll pray with me, it's not for a perfect people, it's for a redeemed people. So if you will pray your own prayer of confession as I pray a blessing on these elements. Create in us a pure heart, O God. Pray that this cup, this bread, this cup would be the body and blood of Jesus for us. Restore the joy of our salvation. May we be a people of light. We come in humble repentance. And we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the great love that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the invitation for this meal, You do not have to be a member of our church to partake. You do not have to be a member necessarily of any church, but I would encourage you, and it's not only encourage you, but it is appropriate. You need to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ needs to be your Lord and Savior. If you have professed Him as Lord and Savior and you've repented of your sins, you are welcome at this table. You're also, it's okay, no, if you do not wish to partake in the meal with us today, that is okay as well. But I hope if you are a follower of Christ, I hope you feel welcome to do that. So I'm going to invite the praise team and the sound team and our servers to come forward to receive. Open, if you'll be sure and open the bread side first and partake. And then partake of the juice. The invitation comes from Christ. As I said before, there'll be four stations here that you'll be given of a cup. If you'll go ahead and go away from where you were served to partake, and then you can discard your cups either in the back or on the wings. Come at Jesus' invitation. Joy of his salvation in our hearts. May we say ooze. May we ooze joy. You never said ooze in church, have you? May it just be coming out our ears. May people see us and wonder what's different. Let them know it's Jesus. Go and tell someone here in this. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to, first of all, congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.